Good morning. I'm Pastor Joel. As we all continue to figure out how to navigate these uncharted waters during the COVID-19 pandemic, the members of Namekagon Congregational UCC in Earle continue to practice social distancing and limit our gathering for our safety and our community's safety. While we continue to worship together on Zoom, we also broadcast our message here on Muskie 101 every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. so those without computers or high-speed internet can join us. This Sunday, I've invited an old seminary friend of mine, Reverend Courtney McHill, who now lives in Germany, to preach with us. She's a wonderful soul, and I thank her for stepping up this week.
Good morning. It is my pleasure to be with you all across time zones and technology. Let's begin by hearing the scripture lesson from Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I now live in Berlin, Germany, even though I am an ordained United Methodist pastor from Oregon, and I have lived here for just over 2 years. Before this, I served a number of churches in Oregon, and one of which was a mid-sized church in McMinnville, Oregon, a small town in rural Oregon, in the middle of wine country of Oregon, in fact. Wine country was new to the area since the 1970s. Before that, it was a farming town famous for walnuts and turkeys. And this community is known for supporting one another and supporting the community. Right now, it's starting to thrive on tourism and really wonderful Pinot Noir. And while I was there, I served a Lutheran Methodist cooperative ministry, which is directly in the middle of downtown. This church, by the time I arrived in 2010, had built up an amazing ministry of hospitality, opening its building doors from the wee hours of the morning until late at night, offering hot coffee and snacks most of the day, hosting almost 25 AA and NA meetings throughout the week, hosting community meetings, and also building up a ministry that would help pay for water and electricity bills, medical bills, rental assistance, food, you name it. And this community was funneling thousands of dollars to those who needed emergency assistance. One day, a man by the name of Pride, in his mid-30s, arrived asking to talk to me in my office. And as we talked, it became clear that he was trying to kind of get his life a little bit on track, but he was still a very well-known drug dealer in the area, had many issues, had been known to cause many issues in the community. But consistently and persistently throughout our conversation, he would say to me, "I need you and you need me." And I could understand how he would need the church, perhaps for assistance and community and hospitality and a safe place to be. But I kept telling him, "Pride, I am not so sure that we need you on the property at all times." His response to this wasn't to be pushy per se, but he would pick up projects, either asked for or not asked for. He would go and find paint, get it donated, and then spruce up parts of the building. He would clean constantly over and over again throughout our buildings and our grounds. He started planting bushes and taking care of those plants and making sure that people had what they needed while they were on the property. We had to work some on his communication skills, For you may understand that what might be respectful on the street is not respectful in the church. But consistently and persistently, he kept reminding us that we needed him as much as he needed us. And the community started to get concerned about his reputation and what trouble he might bring. And what I realized was because the police knew that he was there, everyone actually felt a little safer. He felt safe that he had a place. The town felt safer that he was at our place. And we actually felt a little safer that he was on the property at all times. Consistently, he kept saying, "See, this is why you need me and I need you." Throughout our time through his persistence, we did need him and he needed us. And I didn't realize how much we needed him until I was leaving and realized he was offering prayers for me just 5 years later. We did need him and he did need us. You see, pride knew this before we all did because he could see what the world would hold for him and that the world could be better. He knew that the kingdom of God on earth included more of him in that space. He could see how the church could be better by his contributions, and he could see how he could be a better person because of the community gathered around him. Sure, there were rough edges, but he knew that the only way that the world could be better, the kingdom of God could manifest itself more on this earth, was by this moment in time connecting. A few weeks ago, I was asked to be in a dialogue sermon with a pastor in a church in Portland. And they were working on a series of sermons based on the fruits of the Spirit from Paul's letter to the Galatians. And our word that I was given the week before was faithfulness. And immediately, this particular scripture popped up in my mind, which seems like maybe it's not the most likely suspect for faithfulness. But all I could think of was that this woman understood faithfulness in a way that persistence and action led her to this space that others could not understand. She knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus could provide something for her that even Jesus couldn't see in the moment. She knew that the world could be better, and because of her faith, she knew Jesus could do that for her. So in the Gospel of Matthew, in the 15th chapter, Jesus and his disciples have been very busy. In the chapter just before, Jesus has walked on water and pulled Peter out of the water after a night of prayer, which directly followed feeding thousands of people. So for chapters in Matthew, Jesus has been healing and blessing and feeding and performing miracles. So in this particular moment, it seems to me that Jesus could have been tired and not as rejuvenated as he was before. The Gospel of Matthew also does this thing where it continues to open up throughout the entire gospel, the kingdom of God, who it belongs to, who it can be reached by. In the beginning, it's only the Jewish people. But near the middle, where we are now, it starts to expand. And this woman, this Canaanite woman, is essential in the expansion of the kingdom of God. Some people will preach that Jesus might have been testing her, but I don't buy that. This is also why I really like this scripture. Jesus is incredibly human in this moment. Up until now, he really has been catering to his people, meaning those who believe the same things, those who walk in the same paths, those who understand the same language. So in this moment, this woman has faith enough and persistence enough to open up and expand what the world could be because she's seen what Jesus is and what Jesus can be and what Jesus will be. She knows all the language. She addresses him as Lord. She does all the right things. She shows up at the right time in the right place. She says the right things. And we're told that she's a Canaanite woman, which is significant because it's old language even for Matthew. It's like saying the indigenous people of the area. So Matthew's giving us a number of clues as to where he's headed in this kingdom of God making. Throughout scripture, humans have been known to debate with God, to even change God's mind and expand God's version of what the kingdom of God looks like. Remember Moses debating with God, Abraham debating with God. Even Jonah gets to get a good jab in once in a while, even though God wins out over that one. But again, the human shows up to the godlike presence, to Jesus, God incarnate, human incarnate, in Jesus' full humanness, and expands his version of what the world as God sees it could be. And what I love about this moment in time is that faithfulness in this version of Scripture is not just whether or not you hold it or lose it. It's just not belief in something. It is persistence in action, which especially during this time of COVID and Black Lives Matter and seeing people in a different way, we need that version of faithfulness, knowing what the world could be, knowing that sometimes the best action we can take is a persistence in our faithfulness and expanding the kingdom of God. Perhaps that's staying at home and being safe. Perhaps that's wearing a mask because you care for other lives. Perhaps that is protesting for what you believe in a safe manner. Perhaps that's finding ways in which you can make a difference in your persistence in action. For me, that's been connecting over technology, offering up sermons for pastors who need some care and respite. For me, it's being active in learning, especially from over here in Germany. It's continuing to care for myself and others, wearing my mask, staying home when I need to, being up on the news, but also when it's time to act, speaking out. James Baldwin, the famous activist writer, wrote, "Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced." The Canaanite woman knows this through and through. And Jesus responds to her after he sees her, like truly sees her, in this persistence and faithfulness and action, responds to her, "Woman, great is your faith." He finally sees the faith before him. And then he says, "Let it be done for you as you wish." He doesn't say, "Your daughter is healed." The narrator lets us in on that later. He doesn't say, "I am doing this for you." He says, "Let it be done for you as you wish." He's acknowledging that she has created change. She has expanded the kingdom. She has seen something that was not there before. That she has brought his attention to something that needs care. She has expanded the vision. She has said, "I need you and you need me." And in response, he does what she asks of him. We have power in our persistence, in our action, in our faithfulness. We have power in the trust that we give Jesus that the world can be better. We have power in the way we work towards those goals, seeing the world as it should be, the kingdom of God here on earth, and saying to one another, "I need you, and you need me, and we can't do this without one another." In that same way, she's causing what John Lewis, that activist icon that we've lost recently, calls good trouble. She is causing good trouble. She's rewriting the world in a way in which we can all participate. She is showing us that faith is not a fixed collection of our beliefs, but a state of our being. Your faith is great, not because of what you do, but because of who you are, and then the action that throws you into the persistence of a better world that you can show us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, commend us for the faith we are about to open ourselves up to. Be present to our persistence. Empower us to continue to act. Enrage us to fight for the marginalized. Compassion will lead us into a new way of being. See our hearts for when we bring our faith, and remind us of our faith when we feel like we don't see it any longer. Remind us that we belong to one another. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
From the members of the Namekagon UCC and Earl, may you have a safe and blessed week. Tune in next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another message. And when we begin to meet in person for worship again, I hope you'll consider visiting the United Church of Christ, a just world for all.